So this morning, I want us to continue here in our working through some of the teachings that Jesus was giving that we refer to as the Sermon on the Mount. And so calling today's message, The Thing About Judging. And so here's my paragraph in my notes that you may have printed. In one of his songs, Bill Gaither penned these words, "The one who knows me best loves me most." This phrase expresses a towering, intimate truth repeatedly borne out throughout Scripture, and not least in Jesus' teaching in Matthew chapter 5-7. King David in Psalm 103 says, "You know all about us, inside and out. You are mindful that we're made from dust." So Jesus, looking around at the made from dust hearts before him, was moved with the entirety of his divine compassion to unshackle those very hearts from the tyranny of wrong-directed dirt thinking, simultaneously straightening the way for them to make their cleared-up thinking way back to his and their Father's heart to full fellowship, full worship, full freedom. And I'm aware that many of us have heard messages, even from these passages that we're looking at here this month. And it's been from a perspective of finger wagging, disapproval, disappointment, and even a hint of condemnation. And for all those messages that you've heard and from all the people you've heard them from, my apologies, because I really don't think that was Jesus' intention at all. You know, the word says, out of his great love for us, Jesus came, not to condemn, but that all might come to repentance and find new life in him. And so I want us to look at these few verses this morning out of Matthew chapter 7, not with condemnation, but with someone whose words are directed at clearing up their thinking and straightening that way back to the Father's heart, back to full fellowship, full worship, full freedom. Okay, let me read Matthew chapter 7, verses 1-6, and I'm reading out of the Passion Translation here this morning. Jesus says, according to this passage, "Refuse to be a critic full of bias toward others, and judgment will not be passed on you. For you'll be judged by the same standard that you've used to judge others. The measurement you use on them will be used on you. Why would you focus on the flaw in someone else's life and yet fail to notice the glaring flaws in your own? How could you say to your friend, 'Let me show you where you're wrong,' when you're guilty of even more? You're being hypercritical and a hypocrite. First, acknowledge your own blind spots and deal with them, and then you'll be capable of dealing with the blind spot of your friend. Who would hang earrings on a dog's ear or throw pearls in front of wild pigs? They'll only trample them under their feet and turn around and tear you to pieces." So very familiar words. Sometimes, again, it's interesting to hear familiar words in with new language, and maybe with, as we were talking earlier, a new accent that gives a real different sense here. And so Jesus is, in all of this, bringing them to a place where they can find their way back to full fellowship. And so I want us to look at these four things just briefly this morning, because I think it's so important for us to recognize that Jesus always gives us an on-ramp to the Father's presence. And so the first thing on this criticizing, the blank there is biased. Biased criticizing. And what Jesus is pointing out here is often we come at being critical from ideas that have been set in stone well before a certain circumstance or a person shows up in our path. And he just kind of gives us a warning, like, why would you do that? That's, you know, biased criticism. And I'm thinking, here we are, we're disciples, we are ambassadors with this holy calling. And so here's a question to go along with, you know, asking ourselves, do I have a clear picture of my real issue here? So before we start criticizing, finding fault, doing all these things, just pausing long enough to say, do I have a clear picture of my real issue? Because if we stop and think about it, quite often what we are critical about is more about us than about the person or the situation. And so what Jesus is saying, and I like the way it's put here, refuse to be a critic full of bias. But in order to refuse that, we have to be aware of what's going on in our heads, like what, or in our hearts often. What is really going on behind here? What makes me critical in this instance? And so Jesus says, you know, if you do that, if you refuse to be that biased critic, then you won't be judged, because you will receive a judging based on how you judge others. That's how he's putting it here. And so, you know, the familiar phrase we often hear that goes along with this is, what goes around comes around. And so I think that's what Jesus is saying as well, is if we take time to just back up, and sometimes, if we do something like counting from 10 back to 1, counting backwards gives us enough pause before we jump in. For those of us who have an impulsive side, and I would say sometimes this criticism is not necessarily what we say, it's what we just kind of harbor inside. And because we've learned to be sophisticated in our society, we have a tendency to be able to smile sometimes, even when what's going on in our heads and in our hearts doesn't really line up with the expression on our face. So Jesus is just saying, gosh, it's just kind of a waste of time to be doing that, this biased criticism. So let's be careful. Let's make sure that our own issues are taken care of before we jump in and voice our disapproval or whatever it is that we might do. The second thing is talking about our focus, and this is flawed focusing. Sometimes it's just flawed, and we don't necessarily get the picture right. Have you ever jumped to conclusions only to be discovered that afterwards it's like, oops, I did jump to a conclusion. And sometimes, you know, one of our old expressions is we end up with egg on our face, or the old expression, we have to eat crow, because, you know, we've done something and then afterwards realize, oh, I totally misjudged that one. I totally misread that. So the question we might be able to ask ourselves is, in this flawed focusing, am I paying attention to what I'm paying attention to? Am I really aware? Is what's really going on inside of me? Am I paying attention? Do I see it? Or is this just my knee-jerk reaction that's going to get me into trouble? And we heard a message this weekend on our Movement Day call, and we were encouraged to always look for and get into good trouble. You know, because the gospel is always leading us into a type of trouble, but make sure it's good trouble. So am I paying attention to what I'm paying attention to? And I think if we aren't, then the familiar adage that we hear is missing the forest for the trees. We're so focused on the wrong thing that we miss what is most obvious. And I'm sure none of us here on the screen have ever miss the forest for the trees, but just in case, you know, I just thought it'd be worth mentioning in passing, and then we can move on because we're all free of all of that. The third thing, when this is, the third point is blinded intervening. And this is when Jesus is talking about, you know, why would you focus on the flaw in someone else's life when you're guilty of even more? And, you know, and this is the whole log and the splinter thing. And, you know, so it's like, why would you do that when, you know, obviously you haven't been paying attention to what you're paying attention to, and you don't have a clear picture of what your real issue is. And so we could intervene, but be blind guides. And so the question maybe we could ask ourselves in this issue is, will this get me closer to my desired goal? Before I speak and enter in, have you noticed words spoken can't be unspoken? And how many times have I, countless times, wished I could take back what I just said because it got me into trouble. It opened a can of worms. It created a situation that had no business being created. But once created, whew, you know, putting all that stuff back in that can and closing it up again is not easy. And so Jesus is just reminding us that we have a goal. So let's be thinking about our goal of becoming Christ-like, to be like Jesus, to act and speak and to ponder the things the way he does, to avoid blinded intervening. And the little expression maybe that goes along with this is ready, fire, aim. You know, we sometimes fire off before we've gotten the aim quite correct. And then we're left cleaning up the mess. And so all Jesus is saying is all of these things that we could do, the bias criticizing and the flawed focusing and the blind intervening, they create so much mess and so much smoke in the way that the Father's heart gets obscured and his voice is maybe sometimes not able to be heard, because we create so much interference in between us and the Father. And so, will this get me closer to my desired goal? And if we think about that for a minute, and you know when those, well, you don't know, but I'll tell you, sometimes I have exquisite arrows that I want to let fly sometimes. The words are just so incisive, and they would really hit the mark. And if I can just wait long enough and ask myself, if launching this volley of words, is this going to get me closer to my goal of being Christ-like? Is this going to help the other person in their relationship, both with me and with the Father? Just asking that question will shut down most of those arrows in a hurry. And all of a sudden it's like, okay, well, can't really go there because that's going to create more tangle than I really want to deal with. And the fourth thing Jesus addresses here at the end in this whole pearls and dogs and all that is a wasted offering. A wasted offering. You know, what good does it do to do this? And so to give advice and to let somebody know what you think, what does that really help? Is this really helping at all? And so here's the question we might ask ourselves to avoid a wasted offering. Have I discerned the timing for putting this out there? Because sometimes it is just a matter of timing, isn't it? Maybe it is important, but I always do remember as well, Mark Twain's famous line, the worst advice is unsolicited advice. And if your parents, or if you've had any kind of leadership role of anything, you know that when you've given advice, when it has not been asked for, the response is not usually favorable. They want to hear it. They're not ready to hear it. They can't respond to it. They can't receive it. And so sometimes just discerning, have I discerned that the timing is right for putting this out there? And there's an expression I heard quite a long time ago that I think is great. It's kind of funny, but I think it fits here. It says, don't bother trying to teach a pig to sing. It wastes your time and it annoys the pig. And so I think it's important for us in all our dealings to just be thinking, do I have biased criticizing? Do I have flawed focusing? Do I have blinded intervening? And sometimes do I even give wasted offerings that really can't serve the purpose? So all that Jesus is doing and pointing out these things here in these six verses of Matthew 7 are saying, by being aware that these things could happen and holding back just long enough to count backwards from 10 to 1 or whatever technique works, going to another room and, you know, singing Jesus Loves Me or something, whatever works for you, and then coming back to the situation, we can avoid a whole passel of trouble. And we can avoid these kind of judgments that not only aren't helpful, are actually harmful, but are also harmful to us because they obscure the Father's heart. Our freedom in Him gets dimmed and our fellowship gets really in a cooling time, and we're moved away from the Father's heart. And this is such a critical thing for us in our day, because there are so many things, as I mentioned in my note from yesterday, you know, when Adam and Eve's eyes were opened by eating of the fruit as it was promised, there was a simultaneous closing of the eyes of their heart. And there was no longer the freedom and the clear ability to see the way they saw before. There was so much clouding and covering and discouragement that came in. And this whole thing, I've always been struck by that passage in Genesis where the very first thing that happened to them after they saw they were naked, shame covered them. They were filled with shame. Isn't that amazing? That all this time, no clothing, not an issue, never been a problem, always with the innocence, always with the purity, and then all of a sudden, it became a problem for them. A problem to hide from each other, and especially to hide from God. And so that's the kind of avalanche that's been going for a very long time. And this issue has come down through the ages to us. And we've seen over and over again the mess that we get into as men and women through our governments, and through our dealings with one another. And Jesus here is these beleaguered people sitting before him on the hillside. Jesus is just saying, but as you come to me, I think you can almost hear him saying in another part of this teaching, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus was always trying to make a way for all the wayward folk, that's most of us, to come back to the Father, to full fellowship, to full worship, to full freedom. That's the love that Jesus has for us. It goes past all of the mess we can create. He's fully aware of our mess. He's fully aware of all our criticisms. He's fully aware of the areas that we fall short, even fall short of our own desire to reach a goal. And he looks at us with love. And Sue was just asking me the other day, what is your favorite Bible story? And I said, the story of the prodigal son. And she goes, ha, with a big smug look on her face, she goes, I guess right. And, but you know, that picture of the father running to his son, looking so horrible and smelling worse and knowing what he's done, the disgrace he's brought on the family. And here is this picture of God the Father running to us. As we turn back to him, as we see that we've made a mess of things, and as we recognize our need to come back to him, he comes back to us first. He meets us more than halfway. Someone said, oh, God always meets us halfway. Mm-mm. God meets me way more than halfway. You know, I mean, I'm still picking myself up and he's practically on me. So I think what we need to see in Jesus' teaching and whatever, the only time Jesus was critical was not for broken down messes like us. It's the ones who thought they had it all together. The high and mighty, the beautifully dressed, the robed, the religious elite. They're the ones that he really had an issue with and really took to task. But for us, for the normal people, he's filled with gentle, motherly compassion and welcoming. And so no less here, he's calling us back again into his presence, into this fellowship with him. And so I just really wanted us to see that the problem with judging was one that Jesus was calling us up and out of. If we've gotten into that mess, he's calling us out and saying, gosh, guys, that really is kind of a waste of time. I wouldn't bother doing that if I were you. And so that's the point here. He's just delivering his love with great power. I've included this quote from Kierkegaard at the bottom of our notes, if you've printed it in, this 19th century Danish philosopher. And he says, the Bible is very easy to understand, but we Christians are a bunch of scheming swindlers. We pretend to be unable to understand it because we know very well that the minute we understand, we are obliged to act accordingly. And I know there's a little ouch there, but I see myself there. You know, there are times I really don't want to recognize Jesus' teaching. And, you know, but now as I stop and think of it, and now that I've given this message, I'm even more obliged to act accordingly, because he wants us, all of us, as his disciples, as his ambassadors, he wants us to interact with the world without judgment. And when we do judge, that it be correct judgment according to his heart, having examined ourselves and asked us, you know, asked each other, ourselves, these questions. Do I have a clear picture of my real issue? Am I paying attention to what I'm paying attention to? Will this get me closer to my desired goal? And have I discerned the timing for putting this out there? And if we ask ourselves those questions with minor slip-ups from here on in, I think we'll have a better idea of the Father's heart and a much clearer path to his throne. Let me pray for us this morning as we finish up, because I think this is, I want to really have this anchored in us, that this would be something we can take away into our weeks. There's a lot of anger. There's a lot of stuff going on still in the news. You know, the pandemic refuses to let up. And so there's a lot of anxiety and a lot of judging on motives, etc. And so it's really important to just bring it back to our memory again afresh this morning. So let me pray for us, and then we'll check in with, see how we're doing. Father, we we look to you again. We lift our eyes above the clouds. We lift our eyes above all the stuff and the storm, above the pandemic, above the political unrest and the social unrest and all the accusations that are flying back and forth through cyberspace. And we want, Father, we want grace to focus on your loving heart this morning. Thank you for reminding us that in you, there's not even a shadow of turning. That your mercies have been renewed for us throughout this day. That your compassions have been renewed for us. You're not on your last nerve. You look at us with full compassion, with eyes of love, with arms open wide. And if today we should choose not to run to you, tomorrow your mercies will be renewed, your compassions will be renewed, your arms will still be open wide, waiting for us. And so, Father, we ask for grace that today would be the day that we would do that we would find our way back to full fellowship, to full worship, to full freedom. So thank you for cementing this message in our hearts today, that we, as we face this new week, whether we're on lockdown or restricted activity or whatever is going on around us, could we see your heart of love for us at all moments and refuse the lies of the enemy that would say that we have been found wanting? Not in your grace, we've been found sufficient. By your grace, we've become the righteousness of God in Christ. So amazing. You're so amazing, and we bless you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Horace, lead us to prayer.